Chapter 6. The Argument. On Monday, I went to get my mail. On Holly's mailbox, there was a new name. Miss Golightly and Miss Wildwood were now traveling together. There was also a letter in my own mailbox. The letter was from a small university that wanted to publish one of my stories. The university could not pay me for the story, but I was still very happy. I ran upstairs to Holly's apartment and knocked on her door. When she opened the door, I was too excited to speak, so I put the letter in her hand.
"They should be paying you," she said, yawning.
Then she looked at my face, and she could see that I was happy and that I did not want advice.
"It's wonderful. Come in," she said,
quickly changing her yawn into a smile.
"I'll change my clothes and I'll take you to lunch."
Holly's bedroom was the same as her living room. There were many suitcases on the floor, and the only thing to sit on was a large double bed.
"I'm sure you know that Mag Wildwood has moved in," she said. "She's quite stupid, so it's very useful. She loves to clean."
I could see that Holly was not very tidy. There were clothes all over the bedroom.
"Did you know that she's an actress?" Holly said, while looking for something under the bed. "It's a good thing, because she won't be in the apartment much. She's also getting married. He's a nice man, but he's a lot smaller than her."
She found a pair of green shoes from under the bed and put them on.
"Listen," she said, "I'm happy. I really am."
It was a beautiful day on that Monday morning in October 1943. To start, we had drinks at Joe Bell's bar, then lunch in Central Park. We did not walk past the zoo because Holly said she did not want to see anything in a cage. We spoke about our childhoods. Holly spoke about swimming in the summer and Christmas trees and parties. Her childhood sounded very happy, which confused me. "But didn't you leave home when you were very young?" I asked.
"My childhood wasn't nice, but yours sounded worse. I didn't want to make you feel bad," she said. "Anyway, I have just remembered that I should send some chocolate to Fred."
The rest of the afternoon was spent looking for chocolate, as it was sometimes difficult to find during the war. Soon, I realized that we were near the store with the large birdcage, so I took Holly to see it. She could understand why I liked it, but for her, it was still just a cage. On our way home, we passed a clothes store.
Let's steal something,
Holly said, taking my arm and pulling me into the store. Inside, it suddenly felt like everybody was watching me.
Come on, Holly said. Don't be scared.
The saleswoman was busy with a group of people who were trying on clothes. Holly picked up a hat and put it on her head. She chose another hat and put it on my head. She then took my hand and we walked out of the store. It was as easy as that. We ran all the way home, still wearing the hats. Have you stolen before? I said.
Yes, when I needed to, Holly replied.
After that, Holly and I saw each other often, until I found a job. There is not much to say about this job, as it was boring. I worked from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. most days, which made it difficult for me to see Holly. I sometimes saw her early on Thursdays when she went to Sing Sing Prison, and sometimes when she went horseback riding in the park. But most of the time, Holly was sleeping when I came home from work. Sometimes I had coffee with her when she woke up and got ready for the evening. She was always on her way out, but it was not always with Rusty Trawler. When it was with Rusty Trawler, they were usually joined by Mag Wildwood and the handsome Brazilian Jose Ibarra Yeager. He seemed too intelligent to be in their group. He seemed important, which he was, because his job sent him to Washington 2 or 3 days a week. I did not understand how he could talk and listen to Mag Wildwood and look at Rusty's stupid baby face. A few months later, I was waiting for a bus and noticed a taxi outside the library across the street. It took me a moment before I realized that Holly was in the taxi. She got out and ran up the stairs to the library. Holly and libraries were something that I did not usually connect in my mind. I was now very interested, so I followed her inside the library and sat a few tables away from her. She was wearing her dark glasses and had many books on her table. She read them quickly, from one book to the next. She had a pencil and was writing as she read. After a while, she put on her lipstick and left. After she left, I walked over to her table and saw that they were books about Brazil. On Christmas Eve, Holly and Mag had a party.
Look in the bedroom, Holly said when I arrived. There's a present for you.
I went into the bedroom and saw the beautiful birdcage on her bed. But Holly, you think that it's horrible, I said.
I know, but I thought you wanted it,
she replied, walking into the room. I do. But it's so expensive. It's $350. I started to kiss her, but she stopped me and said,
Just promise me you will never put a living thing inside it.
I have something for you too, I said. I'm afraid it's nothing much. It was true. The present was a St. Christopher medal and looked a lot smaller next to the large birdcage. But it was from Tiffany's. It brings good luck to travelers, I said.
Give it to me, she said,
holding her hand out. Holly was not a girl who could keep anything. I'm sure that she has now lost that medal and left it in a suitcase or some hotel bedroom. But the birdcage is still mine, and I have taken it all over the world. I often forget that it was Holly who gave it to me, because I choose to forget. Not long after Christmas, sometime in February, we had an argument. Holly went on a winter vacation with Rusty, Mag, and Jose. When she returned, she was brown, and her hair was light from the sun. She seemed happy.
At first, we were in Florida, she said. Rusty got angry at some sailors, or the sailors were angry at him. Anyway, he had to go to the hospital, and then Mag had to go to the hospital too, because she was burned from the sun. It looked horrible. Jose and I left them in the hospital and went to Cuba. Rusty thinks that I would love Brazil, but I really loved Cuba. When we got back to Florida, Mag was sure that I was sleeping with Jose. So was Rusty. It was quite worrying until Mag and I had a talk.
We were in the living room. It was nearly March, but the Christmas tree was still sitting in the corner. There was also a new bed in the living room, which Holly was lying on under a sun lamp. She was trying to keep her skin brown. Does she know that you weren't sleeping with Jose? I asked.
Of course I'm not sleeping with him. I'm a lesbian, I told her.
There is no way she believed that, I said, surprised.
She did. Why do you think she bought this bed? She won't sleep in the same bed as me anymore. Can you put some oil on my back, please? She said.
I put some oil on her back and moved it around with my hands.
O.J. Berman's in New York, she said. I gave him your story, the one that was published. He liked it. He thinks he could help you, but he says that you might be writing about the wrong things. Black people and children? Who cares?
Not Mr. Berman, it seems, I said.
I agree with him. I read the story twice. It doesn't mean anything. My hands were still on her back, and I was starting to get angry.
Give me an example of something that means something to you, then, I said.
Wuthering Heights, she said immediately. I cried so many times when I watched it.
Oh, I said, the movie, not the book. I could feel her body harden.
Everybody has to feel important to somebody, she said. But maybe you should try and write something that means something before you think that you are better than everybody else.
I don't think that I am better than you or Berman. We just want different things, I said.
Don't you want to make money? She said.
I haven't planned that far yet, I replied.
That's how your stories read, she said. Like you have written them without knowing the end. You need to make money. You have an expensive mind. Not many people are going to buy you bird cages.
Sorry, I said. My hands were pushing into her back.
You will be sorry if you hit me. You wanted to a minute ago. I could feel it in your hand. And you want to hit me now.
It was true. I did want to hit her. Oh, no, I'm not sorry, I said. I'm only sorry that you used your money on me. I'm sure it's difficult making money from Rusty Trawler all the time. Holly sat up. The sun lamp was on her face, and I could see that she was angry.
It should take you about 4 seconds to walk from here to the door, she said. I'll give you 2.
I left quickly and ran upstairs to my apartment. I picked up the birdcage, ran back downstairs, and left it outside her front door. That finished that. Or so I thought, until the next morning when I was leaving for work. I saw the cage outside the brownstone on the side of the street. I felt a little embarrassed, so I picked it up and carried it back to my apartment. I was still angry with Holly. She was, I decided, a phony, and someone who I never wanted to speak to again.